You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome aboard at 3:04. It is a Wednesday, April 10th edition of the Gym Class here from the Eco Nutrition Studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Great to have you with us. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes from the back porch on the southwest side, and Isaac on the other side of the glass here today. Got a great show for you on a 70-degree day here in eastern Iowa. No better time to talk for the first time golf with you in earnest, and it will be our first edition of Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Brian Haas joining us here in studio, and we will talk golf, take your questions about your game early on in the campaign. We'll talk a lot about the Masters, which gets started, hopefully, fingers crossed, coming up tomorrow, although the weather forecast is not the greatest, but hey, we will talk about it and a whole lot more in the world of golf. That'll be coming up on the program here today. A lot of things to get to prior to that, though, and that includes letting you know about the text line at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Phone line as well, if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call. That is also 319-366-1600 here on a Wednesday edition of the program. Isaac, how are you? It's hot in here, man.
Yeah, it is warm back here. Usually it's a little bit cooler over in my area, but it is a little toasty back here as well.
We will let you know everything that's happening at the par 3 contest as well. We will do that when we start into Caddy Smack coming up here in just a little bit. Mark from a beautiful southwest side of Cedar Rapids, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Scott, Isaac, everyone out there, and yeah, glorious day in eastern Iowa. Hope everybody is enjoying it. If not, hope you're enjoying the Masters or did enjoy the Twins win over the Dodgers.
It's a final.
It is a final.
It's a final. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying that. As I told Spencer when I walked into the sports office today, that it's almost to the point now where you just have to break down and laugh. with my beloved Chicago White Sox, because it started out with Eloy Jimenez going on the disabled list. Then it was Luis Robert. News coming down about 10 minutes ago, Yoan Moncada is going to be out for 6 weeks for the White Sox. This is just a absolute disaster that is happening right now.
Well, they beat the Guardians last night, and I was switching over back and forth, and it was like Stoney at the end of the game and his crew, and the White Sox had won the World Series again. Maybe that's the kind of year it's going to be.
Because they won a game.
Yeah.
Number two on the year. So I'm crying over spilt milk, I'm afraid, and there's going to be a lot more losses. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh into the program here, we're going to talk golf in about 10 minutes or so, get you on the news of the day. Actually, started last night. We got a lot of coaching news, and, of course, the final numbers coming in as well with the broadcast, at least the broadcast portion of the women's and the men's national championship games over the weekend. First of all, coaching news. This actually coming down last night and was quite a surprise to me, although maybe it's not a surprise. I don't know. Tara Vandermeer retiring, the all-time winningest coach in college basketball with 1,216 wins, 3 national championships for the Stanford Cardinal. And she announced last night her retirement after 38 seasons. It sounds like her number one assistant, the associate head coach and former player Kate Pay, is going to take over for the 70-year-old Vandermeer. And she is going to remain with Stanford in the athletic department in an advisory role, Mark. But she's one of the best in the world, not only of women's college basketball, but just college basketball in general. Basketball, I think, at any level, is Tara Vandeveer. Multi-time U.S. national coach as well. Boy, she accomplished everything.
She's seen a lot in the game, 38 seasons, and sometimes you just know when it's time. It was, you know, very late night on the East Coast when that news came down. But I was reading today that she had pondered this in 2015, but she had found a cabin somewhere or a remote a house and found peace there and wanted to continue at that point to coach. I mean, three national titles, winning as college basketball coach of all time. Sometimes you just know when it's time.
And I wonder how much the move to the ACC is going to influence this. Isaac is shaking his head. Well, Cameron Brink, the star player for Stanford, said she did not want to come back for another year because she did not want all the cross-country continental flights that Stanford is going to have to take as a member of the ACC. I got to think that played somehow into Tara Vandeveer's decision, wouldn't you?
I suppose a tad, but again, you know, nearly four decades in the game, and much like, you know, Krzyzewski and Dean Smith and Roy Williams and others, all the above, including Vandeveer, I think just decided at one time it's time to pass the torch, and that was the case. No, I mean, cross-country travel is very overrated, especially when you have to do it multiple times in a several-month period. But, you know, should be celebrated, then should.
I don't know how they're going to do the ACC schedule, to be honest with you. They may end up flying from the Bay Area to the East Coast once a week. Think about that and back throughout the season. How is this going to work academically? Ah, hey, academics, as we know, in this portal and NIL era, don't really mean a whole lot. 5711 weighing in. She didn't want to fly to the East Coast every game next year when they joined the new league. I did not hear her specifically say that. Did hear Brink on a podcast specifically say that's why one of the reasons why she is not coming back for her COVID season next year for the Stanford Cardinals. So that's the basketball news from last night. And then earlier on today, the worst-kept secret in college basketball on the men's side went to fruition as John Calipari is the brand-new coach for the Arkansas Razorbacks, taking a pay cut, actually, to go from Lexington to Fayetteville. I guess the weight of the world on his shoulders probably – with a question mark, not going to be as much, certainly, in Fayetteville as it was in Lexington with Big Blue Nation. But they still want to win it. They still want to win at Arkansas.
They do. And now who wants the Kentucky job? Nate Oates, the Alabama coach, one of the guys mentioned as a possibility, already said he's not leaving Alabama.
Drew from Baylor apparently is going to interview. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Baylor to Kentucky, obviously a plus move as far as stature in the job, but do you really want to deal with Big Blue Nation?
Yeah, that's my question. I don't know who's going to take that job.
I don't either.
Maybe his name's Pitino. I don't know.
It would not shock me at all if Rick Pitino left St. John's and went back to Kentucky. Just would not shock me at all. 319-366-1600. 6429 says, add the academic demands of a place like Stanford, a place where that actually is important. very true. But they get good players. They get good players, certainly, at Stanford. Before we get to the Emil Sideway scoreboard update coming up here in just a little bit, did want to talk about the final numbers for the women's and the men's national championship. And I think we're going to talk more about this down the line, Mark, but did want to throw those out because They were impressive, not only for really the men's, and I don't think it's getting as much play as it should, to be honest with you, but the women's, of course, just absolutely outstanding as far as eyeballs, whether it be television or whatever platform you chose to view it. Some great numbers over the weekend.
Yeah, the women drew reportedly 18.9 million viewers for the championship game, a peak of 24 million. The men across TBS, TNT, True TV, and other platforms, 14.8. And my question to you not so long ago off the air was, is this sustainable? Or is it just maybe a one-off, two-off because of the popularity and the product of the women's game? Or is it when these games are on TV and radio, and the Sunday afternoon women's game versus the, you know, for some, a late night Monday night game for the men? Take your pick.
I think it's sustainable. I don't think it's going to be at that peak. And obviously we don't have the time to get into it much today, and we will at some point, I promise you, very, very soon, and talking about the future and how big women's basketball and women's sports can get. You're not going to see maybe a 17 million number, but I think you're going to see double digits. The women's basketball tournament, whoever came up with the idea to put it on Sunday afternoon on ABC, that was brilliant. Did not hurt the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, South Carolina. They were playing the last 2 years. That certainly did not hurt anything. It's certainly on the uptick. It's certainly on the uptick. I'm not sure it's going to sustain at 17 million, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things, and I think above all else, it's the backstory of the women's game and the women's tournament. The popularity, again, the product. You've got, you know, the LSU situation, the UConn, and then a rematch with South Carolina going undefeated. And those are great storylines. It was a terrific championship game matchup on the men's side. It didn't turn out to be with a 15-point UConn win. And then in combination with the time those championship games were played, that's what it is to me. And no one knows whether it's going to be sustainable. But that's for this year anyway, it's super impressive.
Very much so. 319-366-1600, 9663, letting us know they are hearing the Indiana State players are leaving to go with their coach to St. Louis University. I have heard that as well. There are going to be a lot of Sycamores that are going to be Billikens. They're just trading one shade of blue for another shade of blue, it sounds like, coming up next year. And, yeah, we've talked about that. No, Steve Alford is not going to Kentucky. 1067. But a nice try, though. A nice try, though. He tried that at UCLA. It did not work very well. All right, let's get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update a little bit early today. But I want to thank the good folks at Emil's Hideaway. First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock. It would be a beautiful day to try out the patio at Emil's today, Mark. What do you got?
Certainly so. A Major League Baseball scoreboard. We mentioned the Twins defeating the Dodgers in the conclusion of that series. That's the only final in the books. In progress right now, top of the ninth, Philadelphia leading St. Louis 4-3. Bottom of five, Seattle leading Toronto 1-0. Arizona leading 2-1 over Colorado in the fourth inning. The Giants on top of Washington 3-1 in the third. And just getting underway, Tampa Bay has taken an early lead, 3-0 lead over the Angels. Over in the Quad Cities, Pleasant Valley has hired Wes Hand as its new wrestling coach. Hand is the former South Tama star, two-time All-America at Iowa, former college assistant. who has taken some time off living in the Pleasant Valley area, going to dip his toe back into coaching. And finally, week one, it'll be the Eagles and Packers in a game in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The first game in that country, and that's the matchup.
Leaked out early. But yeah, you're right. Good matchup right there. Oh, there it is. We got number five. We have just had our fifth hole in one at the par three. We're going to talk about that and all things golf coming up here in just a moment or so. 1207 with a very good point, and I have thought about this in correspondence with the 30 for 30 on the Big East and how the Big East was just the beast of the college basketball world back in the 80s and the 90s. And they make a very good point. Could it be that the NCAA women's game, you get to watch the best players for 4 years and you get to know them as opposed to the one and done for the men's best? Absolutely.
Like
absolutely. 1207. That plays a huge part in it. And they usually stay at one school for the most part. Now, Haley Van Lith, an example, LSU, an example of getting players to go in as far as the portal is concerned, but there's not nearly the portal movement in women's basketball that you see in the men's game, and they stay 4 years. That's a very, very good, very good point. 86.99 asking, do you feel the WNBA gets a boost? From the people I've talked to, they will. I think it will. The WNBA still has a couple things that is going against it. Number one, it's in the spring and summer. That's tough because people are doing things. Not as many eyeballs are going to be on it. And number two, much like the NBA, half the league are foreign players that you've never heard of that have not played in the United States in college. And, you know, you just don't know them as well, Mark.
Well, I think the WNBA will get a boost. The Indiana Fever, they're presumed, which presumably will select Caitlin Clark with the number one overall pick. The Fever were on national television once last year, and already stories circulating of a tremendous number of games going to be on TV for the Fever, sellout arenas. The Las Vegas Aces move their game against the Fever to a larger venue. So those things alone, are evidence that the WNBA is going to get a boost.
4024, not a fan of the WNBA on the text line, by the way. It's going to be a different situation as well. I mean, you're not going to expect Caitlin Clark to be in the same role that she was with Iowa. Keep that in mind as well. 3:22, and let's get to a quick and very, very good Bowling Night in America preview at this time before we talk golf. It's brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. It is the penultimate evening of bowling, Mark, on a 71-degree day in eastern Iowa, a far cry from what it was weather-wise last Wednesday.
Another position night, which means money is on the line for the winner of series in the Adult Evergreen League. The Rusty Nails on lanes 25 and 26 tonight, sixth in the standings, faces New Image, which is number five. Aside from the money, inconsequential, because next week the Nails will bowl for the league title.
Good seats still available, by the way. They are going fast, though. They are going fast. But, yeah, looking forward to that. And we'll find out tonight who the opponent will be for next week. And give a May City call, Mark, if you're interested in some summer leagues, if you'd like to inquire about that.
Certainly. The number is 362-0136. Plenty of information on the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
3:24, we'll take a break, come back, and dive into our first edition of Caddy Smack in the Gym Class when we return.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we're going to have clouds building in as the day goes on. Temperatures will still be well into the 60s. And then tonight with cloudy skies, we'll drop down into the mid 40s. Tomorrow is going to be cloudy, cooler, and windy. Temperatures will be held in the low 60s and winds will be gusting as high as 35 miles per hour out of the north. We'll also have some scattered light showers possible in the afternoon. The sun comes back out Friday, but it stays breezy. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get ours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Scott Unash for your neighborhood Quick Star. And why not on a 71 degree day talk about ice cream? Nothing better on a hot day, spring or summer, in eastern Iowa than to enjoy some Nature's Touch ice cream. They've got 1 gallon pails right now, limit of two, vanilla or chocolate for $4.99. A perfect way to sit around the fire outside. At a ball game, whatever you choose to enjoy your ice cream with, go to Quick Star and pick up some 1 gallon pails of Nature's Touch ice cream, vanilla or chocolate. Again, $4.99, a limit of two. It's fresh from the Quick Trip Dairy up in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and it is absolutely delicious. Stop on by, pick up some on your way home tonight at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Hi, this is goaltender Hunter Jones, Iowa Heartlanders hockey team. Join us on April 12th and April 13th as we celebrate you with Fan Appreciation Weekend at Extreme Arena in Coralville. Don't miss this amazing celebration. Let's go, Heartlanders.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. Back with you here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. Our first Caddy Smack on the Gym Class of the campaign. And what a beautiful day to have it. And we welcome in for year what?
11?
11? That's right, because last year was our 10th anniversary. So year number 11, Brian Haas joining us here from Lake House Sports. And welcome.
Thank you.
How was great to be back. How was your winter?
Winter was good. It was still busy and, you know, a lot of players looking to get better, and that's a great time to start tearing things apart in your golf swing and putting them back together.
That's right. And we'll find out more about that and let you know about where Brian is at during the week in just a little bit. And Mark, say hi to Brian again.
Brian, how you doing? I'll join you there in studio soon, but... hope everything's well.
Yeah, doing good, Mark. It's good to hear you.
Yeah. And, of course, our usual week of starting Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. And if you have a question, no matter if we're John about local golf or the Masters or what have you, if you have a question about your game early on, because it's been nice enough, we've been able to get outside or indoors. I mean, there are so many options now for indoor simulators. There are so many personal simulators now that people have.
Most of the golf courses are adding them to their indoor facilities, and they're everywhere, and they're good.
They are good. And if you have a question about your game, go ahead and get it to Brian at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And the par 3 contest is going on right now. Tony Finau's oldest boy just put it in the water, but everyone's having a really good time, and we just had our fifth hole in one of the day from Victor Hovland.
That's got to be close to a record.
It is number they just showed it, and it's the third or fourth most most all time. Okay, all
second right. Most all time. That's a lot of hole in ones,
and they're still playing,
right? Yeah, they still have a chance.
We just had our sixth.
There we go.
Bryson DeChambeau just dunked it. Literally dunked it in the hole. Did not bounce, just dunked it. So he can dunk a basketball. He can dunk a golf ball.
Yeah. Yep. I can dunk the golf ball. I can't dunk the basketball. Sorry.
I could on a Nerf hoop. We've had 6 hole-in-ones now, but no better way to start talking golf than at this time of the year, because this is when people get interested. A lot of people, usually it's not quite as nice as it is outside, and you watch Augusta and you think to yourself, I've got to get outside and play golf.
Yeah, even for someone like me that's been playing their entire life, and now we're getting past that 50-year mark. The Masters gets me excited, and there's many years when, you know, it looks like it might snow outside this time of year for us in Iowa anyway, and I still get excited and can't wait for, you know, the good weather. But we've had a great spring, been getting on the golf course and been able to get outside and practice besides the indoor facilities, and yeah, the Masters is definitely putting a highlight in everybody's day today.
Brian, I didn't realize this until I saw your video today. We have 14 clubs in our bag,
right?
And one of them is a putter.
Yeah.
We talk about club fitting all the time, but you can talk about why it's important to be fitted for a putter.
Yeah, and it's funny. You know, a lot of players look at that putter, and especially in the Midwest, when we're a little more conservative about what we're purchasing, and you know, we don't get too crazy around here. You know, putters are expensive. You know, they're getting into that $300-$500 world to purchase a putter, and you start adding shafts to them, and they get expensive. They're as much as a driver almost anymore, and it's important to be fit for it. It's the club in your bag you're actually going to hit the most. So if you put it in that category, if you're playing 18 holes at very best, hopefully you're only hitting your driver 14 times, and we're going to hit our putter, you know, if we're having a good round, you're going to hit it 30, 28 times, you know, somewhere in that range. That's making some putts.
Yeah,
so you're actually using that more, and it counts as your score just as much as that driver does, and then some.
Well, and the putters nowadays, very technologically sound, a lot of inserts. And it's not only, I mean, in the top of the line putters, but it's getting down to now a more affordable, dare I say, putters. But the technology is just getting better, just like with drivers.
It is. You have high moment of inertia putters, which are very forgiving putters, so more in that mallet style. And anytime you can push the weight back and deep, you know, in that mallet style, you're going to have way more forgiveness. And now they're even getting to where, you know, some of those inserts, if you have a little bit of a toe shot or a little bit of a heel shot, they're making the outer edges of those inserts a little bit faster, so it would be the same speed as if you hit the ball in the middle of the face. So there's a lot of technology going into these putters, and they're being used on tour like that as well. And if you haven't noticed, you know, there's a lot of great players that have gone to a mallet. A lot of the really good ones have stuck it out with their blade style putter. I'd call it the answer look, or the typical Scotty Cameron look. But a lot of really good players have mallets in their hands, and it's because of the forgiveness of the putter.
Very true.
And I wonder what you can advise people on reasonable expectations. Maybe that first time out, first few times out. And I'm talking about maybe the 10 to 15 handicapper who may or may not have put in time during the off season.
Yeah, I think it was a couple posts ago I put on there, even about practicing putting. You know, your average golfer practices putting for 5 minutes, and that's it. It's the 5 minutes before they go play, and your average club champion practices, and that's 5 minutes a week if they're playing once a week. If they're playing twice a week, that's 10 minutes. Your average club champion is practicing 3 hours a week. So put that in perspective of the average person, and if you're trying to get better at putting, that 5 minutes isn't going to help much. And then your average tour player is putting in 15 hours a week, just you know, on putting alone. So you know, somewhere in there is probably the right amount of practice for you, and depending on what you're looking to do. So you kind of have to set goals for yourself, lay it out there and say, all right, what do I want to do this year? You know, do I really want to get better? Because it really, honestly, you have to put down some practice time in order to make that happen.
Yeah, very, very true. First question of the year goes to 6511.
All right, here we go.
First question. And it's talking about tee height as far as a driver. They've had a hard time setting up their tee at a consistent height. Is there a rule of thumb to help this? And I'll I'll let you talk, but there's also, if you want to, it varies if you want to hit it high, if you want to hit it low, if there's wind. There's wind constantly now in the state of Iowa, it seems. But
spring golf.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So to start out, I always start every player with the ball. So if you take the logo on the ball or the putting line on the ball and put it at center, so kind of vertical to the tee. And so you want half the ball above your club head. So the top of your club head, if you step away and you look, you should see half the ball above the top of the crown of your club. And that's a great place to start. So that being said, your average player really should hit up on the ball, not down on it. So the high-speed players, when you get into like a Brooks Koepka, that type DJ, they hit 1 or 2 degrees down on it, but they also have a lot of speed. So you got to throw that out. Your average player needs to hit up at it. Your average LPGA Tour player that only hits it 240 yards, they hit 3 degrees up at every ball. That's the average LPGA Tour player, and that's more the average guy playing golf. You know, they're hitting it 250, 260. They should swing a couple, 2-3 degrees up at it. So in order for you to be able to get it 2 or 3 degrees up at it, that tee height is important, and so that's something you have to figure out between where the ball is in your stance and then the type of movement you make toward the ball, whether you swing zero at it or down at it or up at it. And those are all adjustable and readable, and especially like on a TrackMan or a GC Quad, that can all be measured and figured out easily inside in like a lab like I have or any of those indoor facilities.
Yeah.
Especially this time of year, you concentration should be on contact, not swinging from the heels, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Should never swing from the heels.
I mean, we know the stats now that really everybody should be swinging for the hills, that you're better off being further downrange crooked than you are short and crooked. And so I won't ever tell anybody to back off too much unless they really can't stand up after their swing. But for the most part, we want to get that ball boosted downrange as far as we can. And the equipment's gotten so good that we can put, you know, some sort of form of driver in your hand that won't spin the ball or will create spin if you don't spin it, you know, to help you with those physics of it. So equipment has gotten so good that it's very forgiving, and we can measure all of those aspects of what you do to the golf ball in order to make your swing better.
Speaking of the equipment, going into 2024 here, and everyone is, it's all good. It is really, really solid stuff.
Yeah.
That everybody has put out this year.
I agree.
And I think one of the better years that we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, just the change that TaylorMade made, big change, made it way more forgiving.
And Callaway, too.
And it won't break down anymore.
Yep.
Yeah, Callaway took away those bars that were in the face. So, you know, for anything previous in the Callaway world, those bars would lose 20 or 30 yards if you had an off-center hit. And even my tour players that I work with, you know, they would lose 20 or 30 yards if they were off-center. They just don't do it very often, which was good for them. But for the average player, those bars in the face of those Callaways were a little rough on them. They worked well. They still worked. As long as you hit it in the middle of the face, it was a great golf club. They've all gotten rid of that kind of stuff. And, you know, Titleist and Ping have kind of been in that category for quite a while now and continue to work on spin rates and keeping the low spin rates so the ball will travel farther. And really now they're all working on the chassis of the club and trying to make them like Ferraris. So
yeah,
they go through the air faster because you can't make the face any faster anymore. They've all kind of maxed out heel and toe besides center face, and so now all they can do is make it more sleek and faster through the air so that you can gain speed that way.
Aerodynamics.
Yeah, aerodynamics.
We would never thought engineers would be working on golf heads. But
yeah, they're now hiring aerospace engineers instead.
And AI.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
big.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Big. And Cameron, I hope that answered your question about drivers and which ones no, just to not throw one, I mean, Peng has gotten good review. Wilson is making a big jump back into equipment play. They kind of fell off for a few years.
They did.
But they're starting to try to get that reputation back for Wilson.
Yeah, and they'll get there. And, you know, they kind of went a different route many years ago, and they went more toward, I'd say, the Walmart, the Costco, you know, that sort of kind of sets. And that hurt them for a little bit. But they're jumping back into the big game again and doing really well. You know, if you're really looking for the right piece of equipment for you, the best thing you can do is go find a good fitter.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to do it. They all make good golf clubs. You know, as far as the tour, I just looked it up the other day. I think I made a post on Instagram about, you know, who's got the number one club. Titleist is still number one across the board. And TaylorMade, surprisingly, was lower than I thought it would be with the new driver that they have. And Callaway's right in there. But Ping's number two. It went Titleist, Ping, Callaway, and then TaylorMade was in there. It was in that order.
Yeah. Another question here. Brian Haas joining us. It's our first edition for 2024, our 11th year of Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Shout out to Rick.
Yeah.
Who's looking down on us, and he's smiling.
He is smiling.
Because it's Masters Week.
It is.
And at Augusta, as Rick would always say. Wrist hinge, as far as the swing is concerned. Question is, for wrist hinge, should wrists still be hinged at contact, or should they be fully extended by the time the contact comes?
So there are no two swings alike. I can show you two players that look like they're holding the Statue of Liberty torch, right, with no hinge, and I can show you two players with a ton of hinge and everything in between. So it really depends on how you're getting the impact and how much club head speed you want and how much you need or demand to have, because you say, I don't hit it as far as my friends kind of thing. So those are all pieces that are important as to how much wrist hinge you would like. And so there is no right answer. There's no wrong answer to that. It's just how fast you want to move that golf club. The more hinge, the chances are you're going to move that club a little faster. The less hinge, you better be a good, strong person and move that club, you know, with your body. And so there's no, again, wrong answer or right answer to that. It's just how fast you want to move that club.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, I suppose there are a segment of people out there that think, all right, I'm going to get a new set of clubs. I'm going to get a new set of a new driver. I'm going to get a new putter. And my game's going to improve right away. I'm going to shoot in the 70s instead of 85. There's a lot more that goes into it, right?
Definitely. And
unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, I'll use one of my clients as an example. He's up in the Waterloo area, and he messaged me today, and he said, I have an older version Titleist fairway wood, and I think it was a TSI, so he's only one
that's not
grouping
bad.
Behind, yeah. And he goes, I think I'm going to go looking for a TSR three-wood head. And I said, you know, the honest truth is it's not going to change. And he's already well-fit. And if he finds a yard or two, maybe three, at the very best, if there's some little physical change, it isn't going to be much. I hate to say this out loud because I don't want to have anybody have any less sales, but you know, there's new stuff will come out during the U.S. Open on the wood side for Titleist.
Yep.
And so that's August. And so if you're hanging out maybe one generation behind, you know, that might be worth the wait possibly. And that's just because they run 2 year increments, you know, with their equipment. So this August, usually the tour players have their stuff in their hands by the U.S. Open and then it gets to all of us, you know, right shortly after that.
The bottom line is find something that you are comfortable with and you hit well.
Yeah, yep. It's got to look good to you besides, right? And then, the physics have to be good. So we're just, depending on what club that is, you know, we're looking at physics. And how does that affect you for your golf swing? When I fit, I always ask the player, are you going to continue to do this? Because all of our swings are not perfect. And if they say, yes, I got, you know, two kids in soccer and I get to play once a week, and then I'm going to fit them toward their mistakes and help their mistakes, you know, with the fitting. And if they're an avid player and they love the game and they find time to practice and they work on it and they say, oh, I can fix that, then I'm going to fit them toward a better golf swing. And so that, and at the end result, when their swing starts to get better, that club's really performing even better than it did when we started. So that's really how fitting works. We can fit it to what you're doing right now, and we can fit it to, you know, what you're going to do in the future if you're willing to work on a few things.
Very true.
A lot of talk about playability in the last few years, Brian, and I specifically which tees to play, because you know eventually we're not going to hit it as far, we're not going to score as well. It's all about enjoying the game. I guess sometimes you have to swallow your pride, play the forward tees. What's your recommendation there?
I agree with you, Mark. I've done that, and it's just more fun. Can I still play 7,500 yards? Yes. I do hit it 290. I don't like to do it. It's a lot of work. Look at it this way. If you hit the ball 220 yards, you know, on a par four, you want to have something near 150 yards or less in. You know, that's putting you in the same category as what we're watching on television as far as what kind of club they have left. And on a general event, you know, not like a U.S. Open or something like that, but just a normal tour event like at the John Deere. And so if you look at it that way, and on a par four, you want to get yourself, you know, really not farther than 160 or 65 left in, and then anything under that, and you're playing at the right distance. So you have to be true to yourself and look and see how far am I really hitting that driver. And if you're hitting drives in that 220 world, 230 world, you really should be playing less than 6,500 yard golf courses. So 65 would be the longest you would ever want to play.
If you're consistently hitting 200, 190 into greens, you're on the wrong tee.
Yeah, absolutely. Wrong tee. Yeah.
Wrong tee.
It's not fun.
And make golf enjoyable.
Yeah. It would play it at the same distance into the green that you watch these tour players with. And, you know, day in and day out at a regular event, you hear they got a 9-iron in their hand. They got a wedge in their hand. They got maybe an 8-iron in their hand. You know, it's rare that you hear them hitting a 5-iron or a hybrid into the green. That just doesn't happen unless it's a par five that they overpowered.
Yeah. I'll answer this before we get to a break here and get talking about the Masters a little bit more for 3702 asking what's the most accurate hybrid off the tee for a 200-yard straight tee shot. Well, I tell you what, best advice
is the one that fits you.
Get fitted.
Yeah.
Because we really can't say this one's going to be better for you than this one is. It's just...
Right.
You got to have the right weighted shaft. You have to have the right speed. You have to have the right club head, and that's just the way to do it.
You know, and height matters and doesn't matter because typically I'll say a little taller person, you know, 6 foot and over, can maybe have a little steeper attack at it and can maybe play the smaller iron style hybrid. And then you get into guys more my size in that 5'8" and under world. You know, they tend to do better with maybe a little more hybrid, so it has a little more head to it. You know, it starts to look a little more like a 7-wood style. It's more wood looking than it is iron looking, and most of the manufacturers have both. They have, you know, both sides because you are either steep or you're a little more shallow, and one of those will work better for you. What's funny though, in all the times fitting, right, at 25 plus years of fitting clubs for Titleist all over the country. And I like to guess at what I think which hybrid they would like better. I'm almost always wrong, right? Head-wise, you know, I think, oh, this guy's going to like the iron style. And I put the iron style together, and sure enough, when we try the other head style, the more wood style, which is more onset, and they go, oh, I like that better. And I'm thinking...
Always the way it works.
Yeah, yeah, every time. I have not found a pattern in all these years of why you choose the offset, which looks more like an iron, or an onset, which... tends to look a little bit more like a wood.
Yeah. We'll take a break, come back, more of Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Brian Haas here in studio. And if you have a question, 319-366-1600. Back after this here on KGYM.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your Yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay. They'll be picking up through April 26th. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from CRNewsNow.com.
Sign up for CR News Now, or go to the city website for more info.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text BICEP to 321321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total Tea, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BICEP to 321321. That's BICEP to 321321.
3:49, back with you, the Masters edition of Caddy Smack on the Gym Class here on KGYM. Don't forget, Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock tomorrow. The coach, Kevin Lehman, one more time to wrap up the college basketball season. And plus, we will talk Drake Relays coming up tomorrow. A couple questions here. One really good one, and I wanted to get to this. Always like to talk about it on the first edition of the program here, guys, and that is just to remind everyone about golf etiquette.
Yeah.
And Ralph has got a very good question kind of dealing with it. It says, where is the end game here with tee times and pace of play? I get that places have to make money, but the tee times that are very close have really congested the course, and it is not as much fun. And I get it. We get it from both sides, and you're not wrong.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So you're going to see a lot of eight-minute tee times, especially at the public golf courses. Their goal is to get as many through there as possible. Their fees are lower, right? And so their conditioning sometimes a little rougher because of the number of rounds that they're doing. You know, courses in our area are doing 35 and 40,000 rounds of golf. And I've been asked by golf courses, how do we change things? How do we do that? And the honest truth is all they can do is make the fees higher. And when you make the fees higher, you're going to lose some players and they're going to go to the less expensive golf course, but that allows them to make 9-minute tee times or 10-minute tee times that you find at the more high-end facilities. And that's why when you go to places that are more high-end and they cost more, you know, $100 round of golf instead of a $50 round of golf, it's because they have 10-minute tee times. So every time that they're knocking or adding a couple more minutes between tee times, they're losing revenue. So they got to make that up in green fees. They also need the green fees at a higher rate in order to make enough money to maintain the golf course level and budget. So it's a double-edged sword, and it sometimes falls to the not good side of it for the player. But you have to realize it's a business, and they got to make ends meet, and depending on the conditions that they want for their golf course.
Well, if 8582 says buy two tee times, well, then you run into another problem, and that is that then they think they can play together, and then you've got a sevensome, and then it just bogs everything down. And that's not always the point. I don't want to get people angry here.
Yeah.
But that has also happened. I've seen that on the golf course.
I know at all my facilities that we had 10-minute tee times. I always welcome to five some. It's just, keep pace of play, that sort of thing. But you can't really go past that. And the 10-minute tee time thing is even if you go to a public course and buy two tee times because it's still pretty inexpensive.
And they're not going to let you go together.
Well, it's not even to go together. Even if it's just four players that you're buying two tee times to give yourself more space, that space will just fill up in 2 seconds anyway. Yeah,
it's going to compress.
You'll compress anyway. All you're going to do is just, everybody catches up to each other and it'll be the same.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Just a reminder, everybody out there, and each year we see this less and less. Rules, etiquette, just please be aware of your fellow golfer. We can all get along out there. If you want to play your music, that's great. Play your music. Just don't have it so loud that eight fairways over, it is heard. Fix ball marks.
Yep.
Please fix ball marks. That's the one thing that has eroded in the last 5 years.
It's been a problem as long as I can remember.
But it's really bad now.
Yeah, and I do. I fix four or five a hole at least. And sometimes, my group's looking at me like, would you just play golf? But look at these holes in the green. And I don't want to putt through them. You don't want to putt through them. And so you do have to be courteous to the other players.
Keep your golf cart. If you take a cart, keep it on the golf cart path at the tee. You don't need to drive it off the path to the edge of the tee box.
because then you complain about there's no grass there and everyone's not happy. You can walk 10 feet. It's fine.
And all of these etiquette things actually add up to dollars and cents.
Absolutely.
At cost of repairs to the golf course. So if we're not fixing our ball marks, we're hiring somebody to fix them because we have to stay on top of it. Otherwise, you don't have a green eventually. And so that's all a cost. And so if we're trying to keep golf costs down, we actually have to play and help along the way with them and make sure that we're taking care of the things that we did to the golf course as we play along. And sometimes you got to fix one or two others.
Please do.
Yeah.
Please do. All right. Masters picks.
Wow.
I always ask everybody else to go first. So I will go first.
Okay.
I will go first. Something in the back recesses of my mind. By the way, do not pick Ricky Fowler because it looks like he is going to win the par three contest.
Yeah, he's out now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's going to win that means he's out. No one's ever won both.
No one has ever won the par three and the green jacket. I think Brooks Koepka.
I like Brooksy.
I think Brooks Koepka may get a green jacket this week.
I think we might see a repeat.
Might see a repeat. John Rahm.
Yeah.
Mark, do you like a live player?
You guys are taking the low-hanging fruit.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Scheffler, Koepka, Rory, Rahm. I mean, yeah, the winner may come from that group. They are the favorites. I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele.
Okay.
He's been top 20 in the last 7 straight majors. One of these days is going to win one. We'll see about this year. I've got a dark horse, too. Maybe not a dark horse, but a sleeper. His name is Jason Day.
Oh. Playing with Tiger first 2 days, though.
Yeah.
Playing with Tiger. By the way, the young Japanese pro's girlfriend, Caddy, just knocked it stiff on the ninth hole of the par three. With his club, without any practice swings, stepped up there and hit it 5 feet.
Nice.
Not bad. Not bad. So all of the above-mentioned folks that we just talked about, none of them are going to do well this weekend. So our friend, 5037, in the Caddy Smack tradition, asked, how is the plucky left-hander, the Open champion, the champion golfer of the year, Brian Harman, going to do this week? I think he's going to do pretty well. He's good.
Yeah, and Augusta's a golf course, too, that you can play the par fives and hit 3 shots into them if you want to and play them well. You know, a lot of the long players are trying to make easy birdies, you know, and getting there in 2. But it's a golf course that you can actually plot your way around, and he's a good plotter.
Yeah. Brian, real quick, give the website to people want to get in contact with you.
Yeah, it's you can either go to lakehousesports.com or brianhausgolf.com, either direction. Either one's easier to remember. But, still working with Titleist closely. It's my 30th anniversary with Titleist.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Crazy long time. When they sent me the gift and a little note saying thank you for being partners that long, I thought, wow, I feel really old.
Time flies, doesn't it?
It does.
Time flies. All right. Thank you. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on KGYM. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3. Everybody, have a great, great night.
If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, can I afford my son's travel hockey team? What if my daughter doesn't get that soccer scholarship? Will I be able to enjoy golf in retirement? At Empower, we know these questions can be stressful. We're here to help answer